Chapter 7, Communication Network and Structures. One important aspect of any organization, it is an information processing system. In our day-to-day lives, wherever we are working, information, give and take of information, is one aspect of effective communication. Information could be in relation to a particular project, could be in relation to the short-term goals, the long-term goals. Information could be in relation to the achievements. Information could be in relation to various aspects of the organization. When you talk of information, it collects and filters, process on it, interprets it, modifies and acts. That means the information, say, I get from someone in my organization who's a top management, I will have the ability to absorb. Once I absorb that information, there will be a few points which I may actually edit. There will be a few changes as far as my thought process is concerned. There will be a few aspects which I, if I put forward to my subordinate, will be ideally edited. The organization's contribution comes from the structured communication channels and the positions which individuals occupy. When we talk of this point, what are we putting forward? That information in many organizations is hierarchical. Information in many organizations happens whereby one has access to ideas of all the other members. So it depends. Where is the information coming from? Through whom? How does one interpret it? How effectively does person A put it forward to person B or put it forward to his team? So, ideally, when you talk of information, information is vast, or even if it's a few sentences, how it is conveyed to us and how we put it forward, that is an important aspect. Of course, a conducive environment, an environment where there is coordination, information will be handled appropriately. Importance of communication. Ideally, they say managers spend 95% of the time communicating. Managers are generally delegating tasks, giving instructions, advice, suggestions, training. So they spend maximum time giving information. So communicating. 75% being face to face. Today, very often, maybe due to lack of time, communication may take place over mobile. There could be audio video conferencing, teleconferencing. We also have Skype, whereby we can interact with another person from another country, for example. Yes, there may be difference in the timings, but we can yet manage to speak to the concerned person and it is audio, so you can see the person. 75% being face to face with peers, subordinates, superiors, customers, and thus it could also mean the public. So when you talk of importance of communication, people at top management spend maximum time communicating. And when we communicate, when people at top management communicate, it is communicated with an intention. For example, whereby you want a task to be done. Now, when you want a task to be done through your team, even if you explain in a manner whereby you are aware that the team has understood, finally, how do they go about that task? That is an important aspect. Finally, what is the achievement through them? That is an important point. Factors determining communication. When we talk of the size and structure of any organization, say for example, very often in organization, say a multinational, the director also plays the role of a public relation officer. He's communicating to people outside the organization. He's at the same time communicating and interacting with people within the organization. He's communicating with the public, if at all. So, when you talk of size and structure of the organization, the larger the organization, more manpower, more communication, and when you talk of more manpower and more communication, it also means that constant communication needs to be done by people at top management, because they need to see to it that at the end of it, the goal is achieved. For example, a director communicating with the marketing manager. The marketing manager will then communicate to his team. So, depending on the size of the organization, there will be manpower, there will be people at various levels so that the goals are achieved. Then you talk of diversity of goals. Ideally, my goals, say if I'm a director of a company, my goals and your goals should ideally be at the same level. We both think for the benefit of the organization. We both think that this is what we want to achieve. We both have a similar thought process or a vision. Our mental maps may differ. That means my thought process may be very different from your thought process. But when it comes to having a vision, we both think the same. So diversity of goals. Actually, when we talk of diversity of goals, our goals should be similar. And if our goals are different, when you say diversity, it also means that finally we work towards achieving the goals. Whether we take one path or we take another path, we are focusing towards achievements of goals. The goals, of course, in relation to the organization. So even if our thought processes vary, we need to look into our goals, our objectives. You may have different goals from me. You will achieve those goals, but you will also probably say that this is a common goal which we have and we work towards that. Heterogeneous members, people with different mindset and thought processes. We will meet people with varied thought processes. We don't have to really convince them unless required. So, when you talk of factors determining communication, ideally, say if I'm interacting with my subordinate, he or she has a very different thought process. But then too, when it comes to working as a team, we both can interact effectively. We both can see to it that we are having that vision which is going to be accomplished soon. Competition and conflicts. Very often, competition is one aspect which needs to be looked into. Because how we handle competition, how we deal with our competitors, how we deal with, say, the public, whereby we see a dip in sales. We need to handle that effectively. Then it is up to the organization as to how they see a progress as far as the sales are concerned. What do they ideally do? For example, you see a dip in sales of your products. Why? Maybe the competitors are giving a better deal. You could come up with something like an early bird discount, whereby the discount is valid for, say, 4 days. But it is an exceptional offer. So coming up with innovation, innovative ideas, being creative. Internal support and unity. Unity, a very important aspect of any organization. When you talk of unity, ideally it means that you're able to have the entire organization as one. You're able to see to it that your level of communication keeps people bound. You're able to see to it that at times you're easily accessible with the others. Why are we saying at times? Because a lot depends on your own availability, your feasibility. Next one, stability of internal and external environment. When I say stability of internal and external environment, being able to ideally have that stability within the organization. For that free flow of communication, for that ideally being accessible when required, for that ideally having teamwork, having the ability to make people work together in spite of varied thought processes. Vertical communication. Communication or a message, it moves up and down the line of authority. Ideally, when we talk of vertical communication, it is also hierarchical. That means it's going through an appropriate channel as far as communication is concerned. Downward, whereby we said messages go from a higher level to a lower level. Downward communication, the most important aspect is that the task has to be achieved. The most important aspect is that whatever message is put across, that has to ideally be followed. Upward communication from a lower level to a higher level, that means from subordinates to top management. This could also have complaints, grievances, maybe you apply for an appraisal. So various aspects in relation to a subordinate sending a message or wanting to communicate and thus communicating to people at top management. Now, when you talk of downward communication, various aspects in relation to downward communication. When you talk of downward communication, of course, since it is people at top management who are giving instructions or information to people at a lower level, instructions are an important aspect. Because when you talk of people at top management giving instructions, you're also giving an instruction or instructions which are required for the people to know. See, take this example. Your company's completed 25 years. So you ideally want to probably have a get together. When you want to have a get together for all the employees in the organization, you're also making them feel that they are a part of that company. You also give them an idea as to what the theme of that party should be. So you're involving them. You're giving instructions as per your thought process, but you're also involving them. Many a times instructions are given whereby they're expected to follow, and many a times instructions are given whereby the views of the subordinates are taken into consideration. Then you talk of information. What kind of information? Maybe a latest update, maybe something exceptional which has been started in your organization, or for example, you have an individual who's worked in your organization for 35 to 40 years and he's got to retire. So ideally, you keep people updated in your organization that he's going to retire and we'd like to have a farewell for him. So, information, all the details to others. Feedback. Feedback is mainly linked to performance. As to how has the person dealt with as far as a project is concerned. How is his reaction or his response as far as interacting with people in a group. Is he able to communicate effectively? Is he able to work and accomplish the task? So, we talk of feedback. When you talk of performance feedback, that's what we just spoke of, that ideally it could be in relation to performance. Procedures. We just said sometime back, maybe the person at top management expects you to function in a certain manner for a project. So you give all the details as far as the procedures are concerned. How should he go about it? Any doubts or clarifications, maybe he could get in touch with you. The problem areas, if at all, while completing this task. The kind of obstacles they may face, what should be done to achieve this task, what should be done to live up to deadlines. So we talk of procedures, job related instructions, rules and regulations to be followed. Very important. It is always given by people at top management. Organizational policies, every organization will have a set standard of rules, regulations and policies which need to be lived up to. And then you talk of information about the goals. Goals are a very important aspect of any organization. So going in depth, elaborating and explaining what are the aspects as far as goals are concerned. Upward communication. Messages are usually information and reports. But many use it to understand the concerns of the subordinates. When we say many use it to understand the concerns of the subordinates, it may happen that people at top management interact to get to know what is the situation or what is the current situation. Say you have 5 people working for a particular project. When you meet 5 of them, when you have a meeting, you do realize through the body language and gestures, maybe 2 of them don't get along well or communicate appropriately with each other. How do you tackle this? You make all ways and means to see to it that they work as a group. You probably give them a session on motivation. You probably make them realize that when working in a group, we have to leave our barriers, prejudices and biases aside. When working in a group, our thought processes or self-related roles ideally can be kept aside if they are not on a positive platform. So we need to leave aside our self-related roles, maybe our attitude, which of course is not positive, to be aside. Fear and shyness. This is considered one of the prime reasons for subordinates to interact with people at top management. Fear. If you have that fear or if you have the shyness, you have got to introspect. You've got to understand what is it that gets you scared. Sometimes a person will say that he's not comfortable communicating fluently. Sometimes a person will say that he's just somewhere feeling that he has lack of knowledge. So all these flaws can be worked towards. If you're not comfortable communicating fluently, you put in all effort to improve on that. If you feel that you have lack of knowledge, you put in all effort and read more. So, coming up with ways and means and solutions to actually improvise so that the fear or the shyness is no longer there. An open and effective upward communication minimizes the warnings, demands and complaints. Say you're working in an organization since 5 years. You realize that due to certain reasons, you cannot go to work regularly. Since the last 1 month. Maybe there's a terminally ill patient at home. You find it difficult to communicate this personal problem to the person at top management. So, you do not attend work regularly. Then comes warnings. Why? Because you haven't communicated. So, it is very important to communicate. It is either the fear or shyness or somewhere that inability to accept the reality that this has happened. So, you find it difficult to convey. It could be a lot of factors where you are not able to convey something so important. But that can lead to warnings. Maybe a complaint through your colleague who will probably say he's not been coming to work regularly, he's not informed. So, it reflects on you. So, it is very important that when it comes to effective communication, fear, shyness or any barrier which will probably stop you from communicating effectively has to go. Upward communication. Regular reporting conveying the factual information. What are reports? It is a logical presentation of data, details, facts, statistics. Periodical review meetings. Now, whenever there are periodical meetings, ideally what does happen? There's free flow of communication, ideas, views, opinions, judgments, all are ideally put forward. So, somewhere when you talk of upward communication, you as a subordinate are able to express, which may be otherwise at a one-to-one level, you may find difficult. So, when you talk of periodical meetings, it is ideally one way to realize and introspect as to what your barriers are. Suggestion scheme, formal system used for making ideas. Very important that if there's a flexibility of giving suggestions, one ideally should and must give suggestions because your suggestions may be acceptable and your suggestions may be exclusive. And at that juncture, that would be beneficial. So, Ideally, when you talk of upward communication, it gives you an opportunity to interact. Ideally, when you talk of upward communication, it gives you that benefit that you have the freedom to express your views. And thus, this can also be a tool for you to move ahead. Upward communication, open door policy. When I say open door policy, an informal channel gives every employee an access to higher authority. As the term suggests, open door policy. Anyone has a right to communicate with an individual at any level. When I say this, ideally what are we focusing on? That you get to understand every individual's mindset if you actually interact with one and all. Why? Because you have the flexibility. That's why it's called open door policy. And especially we are talking here of communicating with people at top management. You have access to people. It is said that ideally, when the mother hen is pecking the grain, out of the brood of chicks, say there are 12 to 15 chicks, two or three will imitate the mother hen exactly. In the same way, when there is a group of people and you have a leader, two or three people will make all attempts to behave, talk, deal with others in the same manner as him. Why? Because the leader will be far too confident, enthusiastic, motivated. So out of the group, two or three people will put in all the effort to ape him. Then we talk of informal gatherings. Why would informal gatherings be an important aspect? Because you ideally, when you are actually going for a picnic or when you are going for a team meeting, it brings together people from the organization. What ideally happens? That ability to interact comfortably, being more confident, that can actually take place. And also when you're interacting with people at top management, you probably will want to have a shift in your own mindset or attitude to behave, talk, interact, express yourself in that manner. Other aspects of upward communication. Standing committee. It provides a channel for problems, unhappy feelings, troubles, complaints, grievances. Now, what are we trying to say when we talk of a standing committee? That you have a committee whereby, say, ideally we are talking of people at top management because it is mentioned that to be made known to upper level of the organization where they can be given serious attention. Say you're working in a group for a project. Somewhere you are finding it difficult to relate to one of the people in the group. Why? Maybe at one point of time you'll work together for a project, but the outcome was not appropriate. Maybe at one point of time you'll work together for a project, but the goal was not achieved. So the blame game. So now, even though you'll both are in the same group with a total of 5 people, it yet stays on your mind as far as the blame game is concerned. So somewhere you're not feeling happy about being with that person. You're making all attempts to introspect and to change so that the goal is achieved, but you find it difficult. Maybe having a rapport with the person at top management, maybe actually interacting and expressing how you feel would ideally resolve the situation. Exit interviews with the employees leaving the organization. Provide useful information about the attitudes and views of the employees. Say a person has worked for 10 years. He's put in his papers. He's going to leave the organization. So, ideally, what is it? He probably would share his experiences. He probably will put forward what it's been like for him from the day he came till now over a period of 10 years. He would probably give suggestions or ideas as to what can be done to improve as far as his colleagues are concerned. So, all aspects or information which can be shared. We now move on to horizontal communication. Messages exchanged between people of equal status, horizontal or lateral communication, which is more interactive. Why is horizontal more interactive than vertical communication? Because when there's horizontal communication, it can be a problem solving situation, it can be a crisis, it can be probably just interact to get more information. So it leads to better communication. Whereas in vertical communication, it goes in a hierarchical manner. Here, it is between people of equal status. So the level of communication differs. It is more at a level whereby two people, for example, if they are of equal status or rank, are able to interact with each other and express their ideas, views, including the judgments, preconceived notions and biases. Horizontal communication network, it refers to the connection between individuals at the same level of authority. That's why we talk of equal status or rank within an organizational group, department or division. Okay, for example, a person who is a finance manager and another person who is a production manager. So, they both are managers. They both have the respective teams. They both are dealing with a group of people. They both have various aspects to discuss as far as the team is concerned. So, various aspects which they can discuss. That's why problem solving communication or discussions or a decision which has to be taken, all these aspects will probably be handled effectively if we speak of horizontal communication. Functions of horizontal communication: coordination, planning, execution of tasks, providing for collective problem solving. We've discussed all this, that when you talk of horizontal communication, what do we mean by providing for collective problem solving? That means if my colleague is sharing some of the problems, I definitely can give inputs as to how to resolve this problem, how to minimize this problem. Facilitating common understanding. Probably we both can relate to each other also because we are of people at of equal status or equal rank. So it becomes easier for us to understand. Resolving differences and developing supportive and productive work relationships. This is a very important aspect, that as far as possible, we need to resolve our differences. Because if the differences are kept for a longer period of time, it can create more and more miscommunication. So important that it ideally can lead to a breakdown of communication. So resolving differences is very important. Consensus. When we talk of a consensus, a common understanding and agreement, that means an opinion which everybody agrees to. That's why it's known as consensus. An opinion, an idea which is put forward, but all the others around are supporting that opinion and idea. An organization has to function as a unit. That's what we spoke some time back, that it has, there has to be a bonding, that kind of strong bonding between people in the organization. So they all feel a part of that organization, with all the groups pooling the efforts towards the goal. Every person who is working in an organization should first look into the objectives and goals of the organization. To be successful, achievement of goals and objectives is very, very important. Clashes, conflicts, disputes, disagreements are avoided through peaceful negotiations. Very often, clashes, that means a major difference, say, in our thought process. Conflicts, whereby you and I agree to disagree, but it can create a problem. Disagreements, whereby we both feel that we are not ideally thinking same. So, if all of these are not there, then there can be peaceful negotiation and understanding. These are very important aspects for effective communication, especially. In the long run, all our clashes, conflicts, disagreements can lead to major issues as far as communication is concerned. Because see, if you have a dispute with somebody, you may not wish to interact with that person. But you have no choice since you're working with that person and you're in the same group. So how do you keep that aside? Those thought processes are meant to be kept aside.